Well, have a look, please, there with me in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We tried to preach last week, and we didn't get anywhere. We just went in tributaries. But it was important about dominion. Hallelujah. Praise God. You all well?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Is it a bit wet out there? A bit of a dark night, but we're happy that you're here at the house of God. Amen. Whew, I'm trying to get out of that flow and into this because I know he said to talk about something tonight. So otherwise, I would just let that go the whole evening had he not said, I want you to deal with something. So amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing, Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping the people open up their hearts to receive. Thank you for the anointing to make it easy to deliver, easy to understand, easy to listen to, easy to apply. Thank you for the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and in the knowledge of your word. We thank you that your word is light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. So we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So remember, we were talking about Brother David. Do you remember? And we were talking about how that place of with the sheep represented. It represented a place away from busyness, away from rush, away from distraction. It was a place in the wilderness. It was a solitude place. It was a place of really waiting on God, and it represents that hidden place of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that place of prayer. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow. There is a secret place. Hallelujah. And that when he got away from everything else and he was just out there, I know he was doing his job as a shepherd. The Lord spoke that to me, which I'd never seen before. And he said that place of solitude, that place, that secret hidden place where nobody was around him and he was with those sheep. It represents the place of the Spirit. Amen. And really, he was there before he ever got noticed. So maybe that's a good lesson. If you want to get noticed, get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. That place of the Spirit, that place of prayer, will get you noticed. Remember, I can't repeat everything, or we'll never get anywhere with this sermon. We'll just keep repeating it. But you remember we talked about that. Maybe if some of you would smile and let me know you're happy to be here, and then say amen, then I could move on. Happy, I'm going to look at you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's that place of the Spirit. And then did you notice that he comes out? He gets noticed. There's a season of menial duties, a season of he learns, he trains, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden Goliath shows up, and instead of going, he's the armor bearer. He's the king's protector, the personal protector of the king. One of the highest positions in the land, and they're going off to battle in the Valley of Elah, but instead of following, he goes back to the sheep. It makes absolutely no sense. I'd never seen that. I've read the story 1,000 times. I've never seen that. It's amazing what's in the Bible that you don't see. Did any of you, was that new to some of you? Because I've never seen that before. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, why did he go in the opposite direction? He should have been going with the king because he's the armor bearer, and they're going to battle. But he goes back to the sheep. I said, Lord, I don't know why he did that. And he said, because that place of the sheep represents the place of the Spirit. And it was a symbolic action. God was sending him back to that place of the Spirit, that place of prayer, because that's the place of preparation for greatness. Amen. When you're about to have a really big issue, you've got to get there. Listen, the Lord's always leading you to seek him. He's always leading you to pray. You don't have to wonder. He's always wooing you. But let me give you a hint. When you feel stronger than normal, a season to seek God, you better listen. Because he is leading you into the sheep area because a Goliath is on the way. And if you don't spend the appropriate time waiting on him and getting into that place of the Spirit and dealing with things in the Spirit, do you understand? Then when you come out and you face that natural situation that is looming and that is large and that is threatening, you won't have the strength to be able to handle that. Do you understand? So when the Lord is prompting you more than normal, there's a normal sense that is always there. But when he prompts you, when there's a call, when there's a wooing and you can sense, I don't know why, I just feel I need to pray more. You better listen. Because don't be afraid of that. Don't automatically assume, oh, wow, that means there's a big devil coming. Because I don't want you to associate it with negative. But when there's a wooing more than normal, you better listen, because David was wooed back to the sheep because Goliath was coming. The moment of greatness had come upon him. All of his training was going to come into play. But he had to get back to that place. He had to get back to that place. Now, like I said, that's fresh revelation to me because I've never heard anybody preach that, but I heard the Holy Ghost show me that, and that was a blessing to me. So not only did that place of the Spirit get him recognized, but the place of the Spirit got him prepared for the greatest battle of his life.
Amen.
Maybe if Daniel had gone to that, symbolically, that place of the Spirit, instead of looking at Bathsheba, David, did I say Daniel? Remember that big test and trial was coming. Did you notice that? And did you notice that if you read that passage, it says at the time that the kings went to war. So there was an expected time that the kings would go down to war. And when he should have been there. He should have been in that place. But he stayed back. And when you're out of the right place, temptation take you. When you're not where you're supposed to be. So this sheep thing represents prayer, but that other thing going down to war, it represents really the same. It's the same kind of principle. He was in the wrong place. When he went to the sheep, he was in the right place. So when the problem came, he overcame the problem. But now he's not in the right place because he's listening to his flesh. He's listening to what he wants. And then he's out there on his balcony and he sees her bathing. And you know the rest of the story. But he was in the wrong spot there. Are you listening? Don't get in the wrong spot because the devil's got plans for you. He's got plans for you. He's got sickness lined up. He's got sexual temptation lined up. He's got financial ruin lined up. He's got all this thing lined up. If you get out of that place and you get in the wrong place, you're a sitting duck. And some people, what they do is they get in the wrong place, then they open the door, and then they try to bind and do all these things, and it doesn't work for them. Because they open that. I'm not saying God's not merciful, that you can't bind and loose. Of course you can. But the better thing is just stay in the Spirit. Stay in obedience. Stay where God put you. I don't know who that is, but that is for somebody. Stay where God put you. Stay where God put you. Just because you want to do a business doesn't mean you should quit your job. Because if that's where he puts you, you better be careful. You don't quit that too quickly and try to go off and start something and find yourself in ruin. But if you're in your job and you're seeking God in your job and you're in the Spirit and he says from that place, now I want you to leave and go do this. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Let me give you a little tidbit. When I was at customs, I so didn't want to be there. I didn't like that job. It was boring to me. And there's nothing more miserable than a preacher who's not in the ministry the way they're supposed to be. Now, I was in the will of God and that I was traveling and I was in a training season, but I just didn't really enjoy that season. Do you understand? And so the desire to quit that job and get into the ministry full time was so strong, that's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you can get in the flesh very quickly when your soul is stirred and you have displeasure about something. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Some people, they have such a desire to do this other business or this other job or this other promotion or this other area, and they're so displeased where they are, and there's such an ambition and such a desire to do something better. You better be careful, because that alone is just, that's how the world operates.
Yeah. Yes.
They just want a better opportunity, so they run after it. But the Christian, the spiritual man, does not just do it because they're displeased with what their current status is. The spiritual person gets in the Spirit and waits on God and asks God and doesn't jump and rush, but waits on God until they know.
Amen.
Let me give you, this doesn't happen every time, but in most cases, at least in my life, when I didn't like something,
sure. Yeah.
I hated something in my life, and I'm fighting against that because I don't like it. And usually when I haven't dealt with that, God didn't bring the next thing. He's trying to get me to die to that. Because except a corn of wheat, the Bible says, falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone, but when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. But I noticed that when I just yield to the Spirit and kind of get to that place of acceptance, that doesn't mean I'm not hungry for more. But I get to that place of just, okay, I accept this. This is your will. I will rejoice in this. I will not be in a bad mood and a bad attitude about the season. I accept this. And I get in the Spirit and I stay in the Spirit during this hard season. And I die to that sense of, I die to that. And I just say, Lord, I'm settled. Are you listening? I don't know if I'm helping you, but some of you need to hear this. I know it by the Spirit. Some of you need to hear this. You just need to get settled. That does not equal your content. Meaning like you have no desire to use your faith for something better. You still want to use your faith for something better. But if there's an anxiousness and a, and there's no peace and you're complaining and you got a bad attitude and you're whining and there's all, that's not the Spirit. You've got to learn to just say, okay, Father, this is where I'm at. I don't know if this was your perfect will or not, but this is where I'm at. I need to stay in the Spirit, and I need to wait until you lead me out. I'm not going to get out because I'm upset or in the flesh. I'm going to wait till you tell me to get out. So I just accept this season. I settle this season. I still want more, but I'm going to learn to be content when I'm abased, not just when I abound. Because that's what Paul said. There are seasons of abasement, and you got to learn to just say, okay. That is not a lack of faith to say, okay. That is saying, I accept this season, but I will use my faith to get out, but I'm not going to push with a bad attitude and in the flesh to get out, because then I'll make a mistake. I'm going to accept this, and I'm going to flow with what the Holy Ghost wants, and I'm just going to be at peace. I found whenever I do that, God just, it's like I pass a test, and he goes, finally, here it is, and then that next season comes. I wanted to do all these mission things, and he said, no. And I finally had to say, I die to it. I die to it. It's okay, Lord. Whatever you want, I want. Whatever you don't want, I don't want. And I'm just going to not let that, my thought life touch that. That's not what you want from me. That's it. You want me to be a pastor in Canada? The two things I dread the most, pastorship and Canada. Because I want to travel, and I'm from Africa. The two opposite things to me is Canada and pastoring. But if that's what you want, if that's really what you want, I die to anything else. I will not think about anything else. I give myself to this. I settle into this as your will. And I get in the Spirit, because if I'm in the Spirit, a desire will come into me for that. And I die to everything else. When I do that, then all of a sudden, over time, he'll say, now I've got something else for you. He gives you back what you died to much of the time. Not every time, but much of the time. I wanted to work with animals. He didn't give that back to me. So he doesn't give everything back to you, because you have to follow the call for your life, right? He doesn't want you getting things that will get you out of the call. But certain things he will give back to you. With that job, I got to the point where I was so settled in it. I was so accepting of it. I just wanted what God wanted. I didn't want what God didn't want. And I had died to the flesh with this anxiousness and this anger and this bad mood and this, I hate this stupid job. And people say that sometimes when you're really discouraged, you can say words like that. And you got to get in the Spirit in that season. You won't get out of it till you can get out of it in the flesh, but it won't work for you. If you want God to promote you out of it, you've got to die to all that stuff, all that desire for something else. You got to get in the Spirit. You got to settle down, and you got to say, Lord, this is it. And when I did that, then the Lord said, now I want you to leave and go full time. And I was so dead to that. I said, no, I don't need to leave anymore. I'm actually okay to stay here. Now, if you had said that, I would have said that 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before, I would have said, no way. I mean, I can't wait. The second God says, I'm out of here. But when he did finally say, you can leave now, I said, no, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm settled. And then he actually had to tell me, force me to leave. If you had told me that God was going to force me to leave, Brother Wayne, I would have said, you're smoking some good weed. I mean, where did you get that from? Because that, you're high as a kite. Brother Wayne doesn't smoke weed. I'm just putting that on record. I'm just saying, if he had said that, I would have said, you're high as a kite. God will never have to force me to leave. I'm a racehorse. As soon as he cracks the door, I'm out. But you can get to the point where you're so settled, where you're so at peace, even though you don't like maybe the season and the natural, but you're at peace with the will of God, that he actually has to say, go. And I said, but Lord, I'm okay to stay. I've died to this. I'm okay to stay. And he said, go. And I said, but it would save the ministry money if I stayed and not go full time. And he said, if you don't go and use your faith for me to pay you a full time salary, then I'll never be able to increase you to have staff and to have everything else. You've got to now start putting a demand on the ministry and in faith. And so he actually told me, this is not really a choice anymore, son. It was such a weird thing, because I would never, ever, ever think that I would have not taken the chance to leave that job if God gave it to me. But you can get so settled And so just accepting this is where God's put me for a while. You can get so peaceful in there. Even though you don't necessarily enjoy every minute of it, it doesn't really fulfill you because you know something greater is coming, but you can get so settled in it that when he says, okay, you can go, you say, I'm okay. And then sometimes if it's going to stunt your faith, he'll actually say, get out, because you got to start pressing your faith now. So he actually had to kick me out of that job. If you had said that to me when I started that, I would have never believed it. But there is a place of accepting the season that you're in. I don't know why I'm talking about this, because it's got nothing to do with my sermon, but I know somebody needs to hear it. This is called preaching by the gift of prophecy, because I got great notes, but I've learned my notes aren't that great. They're great to me when I write them, but they're not that great to God, and they're not that great to you. So Pastor Nancy says, prepare like the Holy Ghost is not going to show up. But then preach like you haven't prepared anything. You got to have that duality, otherwise you'll just be. Now it might seem disjointed to you, but it's not. The Holy Ghost isn't just disjointed. What he knows is what people need to hear. And I don't know who that person is, whether you're watching or whether you're here, but there's somebody, maybe more than one. The season is so hard for you. There is such a struggle. You fight depression almost. You hate this season. I'm telling you, if you want to be a spiritual person, get in the spirit in that season. There is a way. You can do it. Quiet in your mind. Stop complaining all the time. Watch your words. Stop saying, I hate this. I hate this. That they did me wrong. And stop. Stop. And just get your mind under control. And say, Father, I yield to you, and I get in the spirit in this season. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. I don't enjoy it, but I die to my flesh. You've put me here, and I'm going to do it. And if you didn't put me here, I find myself here. And you may not have put me here, but I find myself here. I'm not going to get out successfully if I do it in the flesh. I get in the spirit, and I settle myself. I settle myself. And then as you get to that place where you're not fighting so much, you're not so angry all the time, you watch what God does. He'll just open things to you. Some people looking for mates, there's such a frenzy in looking for a mate. Because especially women, both, but especially women with the clock, and they want babies, and they see the time is ticking, and it becomes like a fear almost takes them. An anxiousness takes them. I got to. You better be careful. Because the devil will bring you the wrong one. Because you're so desperate, you'll take whatever. Just get in the spirit. How do I get in the spirit? Just pray until you step over. Pray and wait on God until you feel his presence and you know that you've stepped over. And if you want to learn how to do this, you should start coming to prayer meeting, because I'm teaching people in our prayer meetings how to get in the spirit. Am I not? For those of a few of you that come. And if you can't come, then watch it. And if you don't watch it at work when you can't pray. Wait till you get home, then put on the recording, the archive, and get in your living room and pray as though you're live with us. And pace your floor and show God that you're hungry to learn. Because if you don't want to get hungry to learn, you're not going to learn. But if you're hungry to learn, you'll learn. Yes. You can pray all you want, but if you don't get in the spirit, you failed. True. It's not about praying. It's about getting in the spirit. Yeah. It's not about singing. It's about worshiping in the spirit. Yeah. We've got to learn this. Yes. If we'll get in the spirit, life becomes easy.
Amen.
You say, but I don't like my job. But if you're in the spirit, God will help you. And he'll give you a vision, and he'll give you hope, and he'll show you. And at the right time, he'll open it, and you'll know that he did it. Amen. And you'll know that it was his plan, and you'll just step into it. It'll just be like a dovetail. It will just seamlessly happen. But if you stay in that anxious, angry, upset, emotional, dramatic, everything's a drama.
Yeah.
That's all the mental realm. That's the soul realm. And you will make as many mistakes as you make as you are accurate. You're like a sinner. You're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to get the right answer, and sometimes you're going to make the mistake. Because in the mental arena, your mind don't know that much.
Yeah.
So you're making decisions on less than perfect information, and that's all the sinners have. It's a gamble. Their whole life is a gamble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should I buy this car? I don't know. Should I marry this person? I don't know. They look good. It feels good. If it feels good, do it. That's what the sinner says. Should I go to this thing over here? Carnal Christians. Should I go to the church? Well, it's close to my house. Do it. That's got nothing to do with anything. If you learn the Spirit, it's not just you making mental decisions. He's leading you. Buy that car. Go to that school. Go to that church. But it's far. I said go to that church. Marry that person. Don't have that friend, but have that friend. Don't watch that. Read this. Listen to that. Listen to that minister, not that one. And all of a sudden, life starts to get put together for you. And life starts to get exciting, and you start to see the God's blessing, and you start to see Him increase you, and you go, wow, I'm so great. And then you realize pretty quick it had not much to do with you other than a simple obedience. Hallelujah. Well, praise God for Bunny Trail numero uno. So in chapter 17, praise the Lord, we see that God noticed. We see that He says to the king, this is still review, don't let anyone's heart fail you for this uncircumcised COVID. Did you hear me?
Yes.
COVID is uncircumcised.
Yes.
Colds are uncircumcised.
Yes.
Poverty, losing houses, that's uncircumcised. What I mean by uncircumcised, I don't mean in the physical body. He was talking about the physical body. What they circumcised the man as an act of covenant with God. That act represents covenant. When he says he's uncircumcised, he's not just talking about the flesh. He means he doesn't have a covenant with God. But I have a covenant with God. So whatever I'm looking at, whatever is coming against me, you need to ask yourself, is it covenanted or not? Because if it's covenanted with God, then it's not my enemy. But if it's not covenanted with God, sickness is not covenanted. It's not from the covenant. Do you understand? Failure, attack, murder, people attacking you, worrying about people breaking into your house, for example. That's not from the covenant. Losing your home, having financial ruin, that's not from the covenant. Having your children killed early, that's not from the covenant. If you know the covenant, then anything that's not the covenant becomes uncircumcised to you. And then you stand up like David and says, I don't need to worry about COVID. Because you're not part of the covenant. And I am part of a covenant. That means you have to bow.
That's right, amen.
Do you understand? Then you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid. That's how you have to live your life. You'll never be afraid again about anything.
Amen.
You just learn that you're in covenant, and anything that's not in covenant has to submit to you.
Yes,
everything.
Very good.
Yes, everything.
Yes,
do you understand?
Amen.
Even people that want to hurt you, they're not part of the covenant. And if they are part of the covenant, they're not flowing with the covenant. And they have to submit. Situations have to yield. If you're in a financial stress pot, that whole situation, that's not part of your covenant. Your covenant is abundance.
Yes.
Now, you better figure out if you're walking in love, because you can hinder your covenant. You better figure out if you're tithing, because you can hinder your covenant. There are certain acts of obedience that you've got to do for God's covenant to work. But if you've ticked those boxes, the covenant has to work.
Amen.
Praise God. And now if you're dealing with unsaved family members, children, loved ones, sinners, whatever, you can believe for the covenant to a certain level, but you can't overcome their will. So all you can do is continue surrounding them with faith and love and standing on the word and give it time.
Yeah, amen.
Because eventually he is influencing them without you even realizing. He's putting people across their path without you even realizing. I'm saying that because I don't want to point the person out, but the Holy Ghost just showed me somebody in the sanctuary, and I heard him say, they are highly concerned about their backslidden children. I'm speaking to that person right now. You don't need to be highly concerned. In the natural, you do, but in the spirit, you don't. There's no concern or worry in the realm of the spirit. You are forbidden to worry about anything, including unsaved or backslidden children. So what you do is you get in the spirit about those children. You refuse. You fight fear. You fight that fear. You say no. But the devil says they're going to burn in hell. You say, devil, they're my seed. They're my seed. And the Bible says a lamb for a house. And the Bible says that Noah and all his house were saved. And my house shall be saved. And I block their way to hell. And I pray in the Holy Ghost and I intercede for them. And they shall be saved.
Amen.
My angel that works with me, move and go influence them. So you got arsenal of weapons. You're not going to help it by worrying. You're not going to help it by badgering them. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Because they don't want you preaching at them. The more you preach, the more they'll rebel. So stop preaching to them and get in the spirit and deal with it in the spirit and watch what God does in the natural. And it might be through you and it might not be through you. By the way, you might be the one God uses to speak and you may not be the one God uses. But if you'll get in the spirit, you'll deal with things. So for that lady that's sitting here that is so concerned about your backslidden children, I say to you, do not be concerned. The Lord is working behind the scenes. Your job is not to worry, and it's not to badger them with preaching. Your job is to get in the spirit and release your faith and stay in peace and pray it out in the Holy Ghost and lay that track and watch what God does for you. Watch how the angel shows up in their room. Watch how the angel scares hell right out of them. Watch how they have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, God's got arsenals that he can give to us, but we block that if we're in fear and worry, trying to figure it out with the mind, trying to preach their way, preach them into the kingdom. Pray them into the kingdom. Don't preach them into the kingdom.
That's good. Amen. That's good.
So lady, I don't know if you're listening to me. You're sitting there looking, but I don't know if you're listening. Please listen. Hallelujah. Let's try. That was tributary number two. So he's covenant minded. I'm trying to get there. If you just believe with me, we'll eventually get through this. He's covenant minded. Praise God. And then I said to you, we read about how the closest one to him, his eldest brother, second in line to the father, the one he trusted, the one he loved, the one he respected, the one he looked up to, misunderstood him, betrayed him, accused him falsely, and hurt his feelings. Yeah. Because when you're going to do anything for God, there's always going to be people that do that to you. So you might as well just get over it. Yeah. People are not going to understand everything you do. People are not going to like everything you do. People that you love, the devil will try to turn on you. He did it with the disciples, the ones following Jesus, the ones that loved him. He preaches one sermon that they don't understand. One sermon that they don't understand. And instead of saying, Jesus, could you explain it to us? When you say, eat my body, drink my blood, that sounds like cannibalism. Could you explain it to us? But they don't ask for an explanation. They just get offended and walk off. To Jesus. Didn't even ask him. Didn't even try. If they would turn on the Son of God like that, who do you think you are? Bible says you're not above your master. Don't be shocked when people turn on you. Even old friends. Even family members that love you. And they have loved you. Because this is part of this deal. You in the spirit, the devil takes notice and he starts to position. He starts to strategize. And the closer the person is to you, the more he'll use them because he knows it cuts the deepest. He doesn't only use strangers that you don't care. Because when they show up, you just say, get out of here. He'll use somebody that you love. Because when they stab you, it hurts different. I'm not prophesying that that will happen. I'm saying if it does happen, don't let it rock your boat. Don't let it turn you away from God. Jesus said, you're going to leave? Sometimes I feel like saying to the congregation, you're going to leave. But Peter says, where are we going to go? Who has the words of life? You've got the words, Jesus. I may not understand everything, and I may not like everything you say, and some of it may rub me the wrong way, but I know in my heart that you're it. Praise God.
Praise
Hallelujah. I'm sure Paul felt that way when Demas, who you look at in the Bible, Demas was close to him. Demas loved him. He was close with Demas. I'm sure Paul must have felt something, Mom. When all of a sudden, Demas decides to forsake him, turn his back on him, and go the way of the world. And he says later in, Timothy, I think it is, he says, Demas, the one I love, the one I trusted, the one I counted on, has forsaken me, loving the things of the world more than God. That's called betrayal. But did you notice Paul didn't lose his salvation over it? He didn't quit the ministry over it? John Mark. We're going with Barnabas. John Mark comes and he's whining the whole trip. I'm afraid. I don't want to sleep then. That pillow's too hard. And so now when the next trip comes, Paul says, you're not coming. Because you need to grow up. All you do is think about what you want, but you're here to help me fulfill the call. And all I'm doing is trying to put out fires that you start. So you ain't coming. That's already in some ways a betrayal. John Mark not being able to handle pressure. But then his best buddy Barnabas, who he was anointed and called in Acts 13 and was separated and sent out with Barnabas. Barnabas says, what do you think you're doing? He's going to come. And Paul says, no, he's not. And he says, yes, he is. And they get into a fight. So Barnabas says, forget you. Mark, come with me. And they take off. And Paul, they say, Silas, go help Paul. And Paul, and you never ever hear of Barnabas again. Because the man of God that God was working through in that era, the primary man of God was Paul, not Barnabas. And he got off. Interesting, isn't it? Don't you think that would have hurt his feelings a bit? When he gets into those sharp words with Barnabas, his friend, the one that he slept in the grass with, the one that when you have extreme experiences with people and they protect you and you protect them and you're traveling and you're hungry together and you're fasting together and you're praying together and you're stoned together and they mock you together and you see miracles together and you see people healed together and that's like a blood brotherhood. And then for them to say, I don't like what you're doing, I'm leaving you. You don't think Paul felt that? But Paul understood what it meant to stay in the Spirit. Praise God. And then he gets to the Jerusalem and the chief of the chiefs called Peter. Remember Peter, James, and John? Peter's first. Peter's closest to Jesus. Peter's the big man on campus. Paul is the newbie. He's the rookie. Peter, the apostle. And Peter is getting into error. And he's trying to get people to do stuff that the Jews do, like circumcision and other things. They say, you need these physical things to please God, and you don't. That's the whole point of the New Testament, you don't. And Peter was messing it up. And Paul has to come. All he has is conflict. He comes right to Peter, and he says, I withstood him to the face. That means he went right up to his face and said, come here. You're bringing them into bondage. You're preaching wrong. This is not what Jesus taught. And they have sharp words with each other. You think that felt good to Paul? I'm trying to show you that not everything in life is peachy. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to just fall out the red carpet and say, oh, thank God you've come. For some of us, our worst experience of the year is Thanksgiving dinner with our relatives. For some of us, maybe not all of you, God bless you. If you've got such a peachy family, just don't even tell me about it because I don't want to know. Because for the rest of us, not everybody likes you. I'm just saying, they didn't understand David. Eliab didn't understand David. Falsely accused him, betrayed him, hurt his feelings, broke his trust. David said, what? I just asked a question. What's the big deal? But David didn't run back to daddy. I'm just going to go back to the sheep. No, he stayed put. Not everybody's going to understand you. Okay? So now let's pick it up. Praise the Lord. Little nuggets to help you here or there. It's helping me. Listen, thanks for coming, but it's helping me, whether it helps you or not. I'm just blessed, Brother Rob. I'm preaching to myself. I'm helping myself. Reminding myself that not everybody likes me. Praise God. But that's okay. I can stay in the Spirit. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to make it. And so verse 31, and when the words were heard, which David spoke and rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no one's heart fail him because of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. He's very pragmatic. Notice that? Don't worry about it, buddy. Oh, king, I got this. I got this. And Saul said to David, no, you don't got this. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a, that word man of war means champion in the Hebrew. He's a champion from his youth. Now watch this now. This is something new. I've got a lot of nuggets in this that I've never picked up in my spirit before. Watch this statement now, Pastor Happy. And David said unto Saul, what's the statement? You can't do it because you're a kid and he's a champion warrior from his youth. He's calling him a champion. He's calling David not a champion. Right? Now watch what David, watch how David answered. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the Lord. What's he saying? I'm a champion too. I'm a champion too. And I heard the Holy Ghost say he knew who he was. I'm giving you principles of success. You better get in the spirit.
Amen.
To get noticed. You better get in the spirit for that preparation season. Praise God. You better understand covenant. These are notes. These are pointers. These are aspects. These are nuggets. You better understand covenant. You better not be moved when people turn on you. And you better know who you are. Because they're going to say you can't do it. And you're going to say, yes, I can. Are you with me? When they say you can't, you need to say, if God was with you and if God is authoring it, you have a right to answer. Did you notice he didn't stay quiet, Jenny? This wasn't the devil he was answering. This is a person who is actually over him and who loves him. And but he still had to answer the information was wrong. The statement was wrong. You have to answer the wrong.
Yeah.
We're so used to answering the devil, but you got to answer people that are wrong.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Amen.
When certain family members have said to me over the years, you're never going to amount to anything. I say, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't go quiet. I don't let those words hang out there. I take those words and I cast them down to the ground. I say, you're wrong in Jesus' name. I will, because God is with me. It's important that you say that. David didn't just let the accusation or let the statement fall and just kind of go quiet and internalize it. He answered. You're so skillful. And we're taught well to answer the devil, but what about answering the words of people? When people say, your business is not going to work. Yes, it will. You're not going to get clients in this environment. Yes, I will. In fact, I'll get twice as many as you.
Amen.
You might lose your house. No, I won't. Your kids will never get saved. Yes, they will. Your husband's a lost cause. No, he's not. Whether it's the devil saying it or a person saying it, you better learn to answer it.
Amen.
He knew who he was, Jenny. I love it. He knew. He's not the only champion around here. I'm a champion. I took the lion. And I took the bear. And this guy's going to be like one of them. And if God saved me from them, he'll save me from him, because it's God that did it, not me, to begin with.
Yeah.
You're calling him a champion, sir? You need to call. Look, you need to look differently at me, because I've got something to offer.
That's right, amen.
You see that temerity?
Yes, sir.
You're going to go anywhere with God, you better know who you are.
Because
everybody wants to tell you that you can't do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to tell you. They told me, Brother Wayne, you will never succeed if you plant a church in a recession. 2008, do you remember? Those of you that remember? 2008 was one of the worst recessions Canada's ever seen. People were losing jobs. Things were failing left, right, and center. And God said, plant a church. And I said, yes. And everybody I knew said, you're crazy. That'll never work. Yes, it will. Because God told me. Well, how do you know God? Because I'm not like you. That's why I know God, because you don't. Most people don't know God, especially when they're doubting you. Do you understand? I'm not talking about people that you trust in your inner circle and your pastor and those people. I'm talking about people out there that are just naysayers. Just be careful what you listen to. So just some nuggets for you. Get in that secret place to be prepared. Be covenant-minded. You better know who you are. Don't be moved when the closest people hurt you. Get over it. Stay in the spirit.
Amen.
And you'll get over it.
Yep.
Know who you are. Know who you are. Know what God's asked you to do.
Yep.
Don't have a strong, constituted mind. Know who you are. I'm a champion too. I can do this. That's not pride. To acknowledge that God is with you and that you're able to do something. That's not pride. That's not drawing attention to yourself. That's acknowledging who you are in Christ. And say it out loud for those naysayers to hear it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know this is simple and basic, but I'm getting to where he said. Now the next part here, we'll read with me. And in verse 37, and David said, moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, go, and the Lord be with you. In other words, I'm not going. I'm not going to be with you, but God be with you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God, son, and I hope they don't kill you. It's easy to watch from the stands. It's not easy to go down to the battle. Praise God. And Saul armed David, watch now, with his armor, and put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. You've got to learn, I'm giving little nuggets, especially to ministers, but to everybody, you got to learn to be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be a Saul. You don't have to try to imitate somebody else. Be yourself. Nobody wants to hear somebody that is trying to imitate and mimic. Just be, when you're in business, be yourself. When you're in ministry, be yourself. When you're out evangelizing, just because I do it one way doesn't mean you have to do it that way. Be your, learn how God uses you. David figured out how God used him because he was skillful with his weapons, which was a staff and a stone and a sling and his bare hands, right? He was skillful with that. So he didn't try to switch over into something he wasn't skillful in. He didn't try to let somebody else tell him, you should act this way. You should do this. This is the right way. I'm going to be me. The most freeing thing for a person is just to be happy with who you are, whether you're weird or not, whether you're strange or not. That doesn't give license for bad behavior or for people to be weird. I'm just saying everybody's unique and got your own idiosyncrasies. Just start to love yourself. That doesn't mean you don't change where you need to change, but there's got to be a baseline where you say, I like who I am. Amen. Confidence is so important.
It is.
I like who I am. Amen. I'm going to always go from glory to glory. I'm going to change, but God made me a certain way. And obviously God thought it was okay. Whether everybody else likes it or not, that's their business. Do you understand?
Yes.
Did you notice that, Taylor? He didn't try to imitate. He didn't wear Saul's stuff. He was not skillful with Saul's stuff. So there's two elements of this. Be yourself and go with what you're skillful with. Use the weapons you know how to use. Hallelujah. And he took his staff in his hand and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Why 5? He's not going to miss with 4. Because if you study the Bible, which obviously David already knew, because in that day and age, brothers defended each other for the name of the family honor.
Amen.
And if you look in the Bible, later in David's life, after he'd become king, there were 4 brothers of the giant. He had 4 brothers. Praise God. In fact, Goliath's father was over 12 feet tall. It states his height. Goliath was only 9.5 feet tall. He was the runt. The runt. His father was humongous. And he had 5 boys. One of them was Goliath. It lists all of their names in the Bible. And David's mighty men killed all of those guys. In fact, on one of them, David got in the fray. And he started getting tired in the fight. And that giant was going to kill him. And one of his mighty men came and rescued him and said, go, you're not, you're old now. Go. Lest your name be extinguished, the light of Israel be extinguished prematurely. Let me take care of this monster for you. I'm your young person. I've got strength in me. You've already took care of the first one. Let me take care of this one, David. Praise God. But he had 4 brothers. And in that day and age, the brothers would defend each other for the family honor. And many times if he killed one, the other one would come and fight you.
Yeah.
So he picked 5 stones, not because he thought he was going to miss 4 times. He picked 5 stones, 1 for every one of those ugly brothers. I like it. He's making provision for success. He's not making provision for failure. He's making provision for great success. Hallelujah. And he takes those out of the book, smooth ones, not sharp, jagged ones that can pierce the skin easily. A greater miracle is when a smooth stone sinks into your forehead. If it's a nice sharp stone, then it's like a bullet.
Yeah.
Somebody could say, well, a good slingshot could make that sharp stone go in. But a smooth stone, you know it has to be a miracle. Because a smooth stone bounces off the forehead. It doesn't sink into the skull. I love it. Praise God. Put him in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his script, which is a bag. And a sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistine. Are you with me? He knows who he is.
Amen.
He's comfortable with who he is. He's not trying to be somebody else. What's the time, Jennifer? They're bored. It's 9:08. We should quit. We did too much worship tonight. And I've done so many things, tributaries and bunny trails. It's 9:08. I have to quit. I have to stop because I can see some of you are cracking open your Red Bull. I can just see it. Okay, can we go? Just give me 6 minutes and I promise you, done or not, We'll end at 9:15, okay? But I just want you to see this next part. And the Philistine comes and draws near to David, and the man that bare his armor goes before him. So there's 2 of them, and there's only 1 of David. When the Philistine looked about, and he sees David, he disdains him, mocks him, for he's only a kid, and with red hair, and he's pretty looking. He's combed his hair nice. He's got on designer jeans. He says he's of a fair countenance. He's not ugly. There's hope for all of us. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves, pieces of wood? And he curses him by his God. So that Philistine uses witchcraft and cursing to speak to him. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. Oh, I can just hear it now. Can you hear that guttural voice? Come to me. Now, by the way, he's seated when he says this. David is standing and he is seated under a tree, the Bible says. And when they're looking, they're the same height. And he's seated on the ground and they're looking at each other and he says, come to me. He's still seated. And I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said, you got to learn to answer. I'm trying to give you principles. When people that love you, that represent Saul, say things that are not according to the will of God, answer them. But when the devil, he represents the forces of darkness, when the devil says certain things and tries to intimidate you and curses you, you better answer. You have to answer people and you have to answer the devil. And I love it. David answers, and oh, what a wallop, Tyrone. This is not, I mean, he beats the speech of the Philistine. You know why? Because the gift of faith comes on him. You can't say this, Brother Dan, without the gift of faith because of what he said. He wasn't just saying a little thing. Faith, divine faith came on him to believe for this. See, God was with him. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, and I come to you in the name. Notice he didn't talk about the stones. The stones were the natural part of it, but he's saying, you're trusting in natural things, I'm trusting in the power of God. So when you approach things, you better not trust your mind. You better trust the anointing. God will use your mind. He will use your sling. He'll use natural things, but the source is not the natural thing. The source is him. And David recognized the authorship. He recognized the source. I'm coming here with the power of God. You have natural things. When we face government people, they have natural things, but we have the power of God. Amen. When we face demons on the mission field or demons here or danger, that's natural. They've only got natural power, but we have the power of God. Amen. You got to understand that source. It makes a difference in your life. I come to you in the name of the Lord of... Now watch this now. Oh, you see that, Jenny? I come to you in the name of the Lord of
hosts,
the God of the armies. 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 There was one army under Saul, but he said there are armies. Who's he talking about? The angels. David had a revelation that angels worked with him. He said, what you see is one army, but there's another army you know not about, but I know about that army. And that army is far more dreadful than the ones you see who are scared. This army answers to the Lord God Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of God of the angel armies. Amen. Did you notice that he commented in his declaration about the angels? He's talking about God who was over angels. And then he says armies in plural. Did you ever see that? Hello? Did you ever see that? Do you even read your Bibles? Hello? Did you ever see that it says armies plural? Because I've never seen that before. And the Holy Ghost stopped me and he said, look at that word. Is that plural or singular? I said, that's plural. He said, how many armies did Saul have? I said, one. He said, well, then why was it plural? Because there were angels there. And Lord of hosts is talking about the host of angels. David is saying in his speech, listen, I've got the power of God, that's the name, and I've got angels. Amen. And when you face problems, you better understand, I've got the name of Jesus, the power is with me, and I've got angels that enforce what I say in that name. Amen. If you understand that, you'll be okay.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. It is 9:14, and I have to close, but I'll read this last verse because this just freaks me out. Whew. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, he's talking to Goliath, and take your head from you. But now he goes into something totally different. Now he says, I'm bored with just you. You're boring. I'm not just going to take you. Now this is a gift of faith. No human being can do this in the natural. But what does he say? And I will give the carcasses of the host. Every one of you, even if they run away, like Samson, the power of God will come on me. And every one of you I'll kill. Remember, David had the record of Samson. They knew about Samson. The Israelites knew that a man took 1,000 men at once. They knew about that story. If you studied, Samson didn't live that far back from David. In fact, Samson actually was alive at the time of Saul. If you study the history of it, they knew. Samson and Saul probably knew each other. If you study it, if you look at the timelines of the history of everything, Samson wasn't that far back. The whole Israel camp knew that one man took 1,000 Philistines. The whole everybody knew that. So David is weaned on this legend of the power of God. And he says, I've got his name. And I've got angels. And I'm not just going to take you ugly thing, and your five ugly brothers. I'm going to take the whole army. I'm going to take the whole host. If you push me, I'll kill every one of you. Do you see the spirit of faith? And here you are, concerned about getting a virus. But see, he's battling natural. We're battling spiritual. We've got to learn that same spirit of faith can work for us about financial hardship, about sickness, about this, about whatever we're facing. That spirit of faith can be with us where we say, I'm not just afraid of you. I'll take all of you. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll give the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly will know that the Lord does not save by natural means, sword and spear, because the battle is God's, and he is going to give you into our hands. Amen. And verse 48, and that's fighting words, Tanya, that's fighting words. And the Philistine has had enough. So what does he do? He stands up. And I can just picture David. He's talking all these faith words, and all of a sudden, the guy stands up and his eyes go, Could you imagine? Almost a 10-foot monster. You're looking at him eye to eye, saying all these glorious words, and then he stands up to full stature. If there was ever a moment for David to be afraid, it was after his little preaching sermon, when that guy stood to full strength and intimidated him. And what does he do? And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came new and nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran to meet, toward the army to meet the Philistine. The gift of faith came on him, and it wasn't just, well, I'm going to do this cautiously. His face turned into that of a, I'm telling you, people didn't recognize him. Because later Saul said, whose father is this guy? Who taught him how to fight like this? Well, nobody taught him. God taught him. His face turned, Timothy. I'm going to see the DVD when I get to heaven. Yeah. We're going to see it. I've got to see what that looks like, Jenny. He sees the monster rise. And instead of backing up, he charges forward. And he doesn't just walk. He runs. Ah! Oh, my God, what power. That is when we face sickness. When it rises up before us, we should charge it. Yes. When cancer rises, we should charge it. When the devil says your kids are going to be locked, we should charge it. Anything that arrays itself in defiance against our covenant, we should understand. I've got the power of God. I've got the angels. And I'm going to take you and all your friends with you. And when they try to intimidate us, we run toward them. God's looking for people to run, Jenny. He's looking for people, Sandra, to run toward the enemy. Not run away and not walk, but run toward the fight. People that know God, they want the fight. Come on, devil. Come on, I'll take you and your ugly brothers. Come on. I'm telling you, that spirit of faith is powerful. Hallelujah. But it all comes back to getting in the spirit. He went with the sheep. He was prepared for the day of battle because he waited on God. If you don't learn to get in the spirit and wait on God, the day of battle will overtake you. Sickness will overtake you. Fear will overtake you. Politics, conspiracies will overtake you. In the spirit, there's nothing but victory. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these precious ones that have been so patient to listen to your word. I know some of them are a little tired, but they've said good amens tonight. I bless them. I honor them. I honor you, Father. Thank you for letting us touch something of the realm of worship tonight that was deeper. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of faith tonight. Thank you, Father, for these specific words to help and encourage those Father, that are going through different things with family members and with jobs. Thank you for the help and the unction of the Spirit tonight on your word. Thank you that we do not have to be afraid. That we rise up when the enemy stands at full stature to intimidate us. We charge him because we know who we are. And we've got the name. And we've got the blood. And we've got the Holy Ghost. And we've got angels. And we are undefeatable. We are invincible in you. And we praise you. And we thank you. In Jesus, and I say again, Jesus, mighty name, and mighty name. Hallelujah.